This morning, we're going to talk about the lies, L-I-E-S, we believe. Okay, the lies we believe. And the reason that I titled it, The Lies We Believe, is because that's what the Lord told me to title it. So, and he gave me the title Sunday morning. So, I don't know if any of you knows me stopping and writing. That's what he was telling me. So it's the lies we believe. And then later on, he told me to change it just a little bit, and so we're going to do that as well. Okay? Stephen and I, yesterday, if you would help me, Cindy, and Sister Judy, if you would help me. Stephen and I were watching ESPN yesterday, and ESPN is doing a program called 3030. And it essentially is looking back at the times in the history of athletics for a certain year, 1981, 1982. And that was the year that Stephen and I saw yesterday. Well, Stephen saw part of it, and I saw more of it than he did. Many of you, if you're not a football fan, the name Marcus Dupree won't mean much to you. Okay? But in 1981, Marcus Dupree, and I'm having a problem with contact lens. Marcus Dupree was a freshman running back in Oklahoma in 1981. And he was not even a starter at the time. The starter got hurt, and then Marcus Dupree came in, and he just went nuts. Okay? He was so talented that I really believe that he was even more talented than Bo Jackson. And we know how good Bo Jackson was. And Marcus Dupree was even better. What brought Marcus Dupree to mind for this morning was that over and over, people would say he had a God-given talent. A God-given talent. And knowing what I was going to preach on this morning, I thought it was very interesting that I would be watching that yesterday, knowing what I was going to talk about today. Over the years, one of the lies that we have been taught is that I am the way I am because God made me that way. Okay? So I get mad real quick about something because God made me that way. Or I can't jump as high as some other folks because God made me that way. Or I have this body, okay, because this is the body that God gave me, okay? Or I'm not as smart as some folks because God just didn't give me that type of intellect. So all of our shortcomings, all of the things we didn't like about ourselves or we wish we were better in some other areas, we justified it by saying this is the way God made me, so I have to deal with it, okay? The reason that that's a lie is because it's a lie. God is an egalitarian. He treats everyone the same, okay? And we're going to see this in a few minutes. And the reason we talk about these being lies, isn't it wonderful having a baby? Woo-hoo! Got a baby in the house. Got a baby in the house. There is a direct connection on what you believe and what you say with your faith. A direct connection. So in those areas where you are off in your doctrine when it comes to the things that you believe and what you say, you are not going to have any faith. And see, God wants us to max our faith. But you can't max your faith if you believe that your Heavenly Father designed you the way you are. Okay? One of the subheadings you see on here is ethnicity. Okay? There was a time in our country's history when a lot of people believed that a person with my skin color, we were cursed by God. Okay? God made us this way and cursed us for a reason. Okay, many people believe that. And there was a time in our history when someone with my skin color, we didn't want to be born with this skin color. We didn't. And, we don't talk about it a whole bunch, but when you asked us, we would much rather be white than black, because we knew that if we were white, we would have certain advantages, certain things available to us that blacks didn't have. So there was a time in our country when it was preferred not being black, okay? Now, if God made me this way, what are we saying? God made me a second-class citizen, third-class, whatever class you want to call. But obviously, if God made me this way, he didn't make me first-class, because I'm subservient always to someone who has a lighter skin color. Okay? Do you see how devastating that can be to building your faith? How can you love and trust a God who would purposely make you less than another human being? It's hard. So in that case, if you have a relationship with God that is not 100%, I'm so in love with God, head over heels with God, I do anything God wants me to do because he made me black, then you're not going to have a whole bunch of faith. Okay, you're not going to have. And on the other side, the folks with the lighter color skins who believe the same thing, they're not going to have a lot of faith either, because their doctrine is just as off as on the other side. Okay, see, that's how it. And that's a lie. God made me the way I am. Okay, in Genesis, we're going to look at a couple of verses that we're familiar with in Genesis chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." This is the way it was in the beginning. Okay? That's the way it was. We were exactly like God, the whole ball of wax. "Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his image, in the image of God created he him. And I want you to pay attention to how many times he says "in the image." That's at least three times we've seen "in the image" so far. Okay, "in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." The word "replenish" means to fill. "Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth." Okay, this is how God had it in the beginning. Okay? When you get over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, that's when God tells man that you are not to eat of the tree in the garden. Okay? Then you get to Genesis chapter 3, and they have eaten in the tree of the garden because they found themselves naked and they had to cover themselves with fig leaves and all that. Okay? So, when you get to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, man is no longer Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Okay? Man is no longer like God. Can we agree on that? Okay. Now, man is no longer like God. Now look at chapter 4, look at verse 1. "And Adam knew Eve." And we know it means to know her intimately. "Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said," this is what Eve said, this is what Eve said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." Now, just because Eve said it doesn't mean it's true. Okay? Did you hear me? Just because Eve said it does not make it true. Because we all know what it means when we say, okay, he's raising Cain. We know exactly what that phrase means, don't we? Okay? And my point, I could have skipped over this verse, but I wanted to bring this verse out to you, because a lot of times we'll read the Bible and we'll think that everything in here is exactly what God wanted, what God desired. God is giving us a kind of a view, an overview of kind of what happened, what people thought, and what they did. A good example would be, you remember the story of Job. The Lord giveth, The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You remember that, right? And you, when you read the story of Job, you know that it was Satan doing all the damage. It was not God, but Job didn't know that. So he was just saying what he knew in his heart. But then when you read to the end of the book of Job, he clearly says, you know, God, when I talked about you, I talked about things I didn't understand. I talked about things I didn't know. So Job admitted that, you know, I was wrong in blaming you for all of this stuff. So I just wanted to point that out to you. Now, look in, well, I want to make sure I follow my notes right. Okay. Okay, go to Luke. And then we're going to come back to Genesis chapter 5. In Luke chapter 3. So we see in Genesis chapter 4, Eve says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Okay? And we all say, okay, see how God is the one who gives us children. Okay? But in Luke chapter 3, look at verse 24. Well, look at verse 25. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Haleel. Now, you see where it says the son in all these verses, and they're in italics? Okay? You can just take them out and then get down to verse 38. It says, which was of Enos. In other words, he came out of the loins of Enos. Enos came out of the loins of Seth, which was of Seth. Which was of Adam, came out of the loins of Adam, which was of God. Who in this entire list so far is the only two people who came out of the loins of God, loins figuratively? Adam and Jesus. Everyone in between had a father who had a sin nature. Okay? Now, you want to put the capstone on it? Genesis chapter 5. I remember the first time I saw this in Genesis chapter 5, I said, my gosh. And it's been in here the whole time. So, you know, this has been in Genesis chapter 5 for at least 55 years. At least. Because I'm 55 years old. So it's been there for at least 55 years. But it wasn't until recently that I saw it, okay? I just want to share that. I didn't want you to think I was creating any new doctrine. I didn't want you to think that I was reading a different Bible. It's been in there all that time. I mean, can you imagine that? Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. Okay? So in the day that God created them, he created them in his likeness. And you remember back in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, and in his image. Remember it said image three times. Okay? Look at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in what? His own likeness. Do you see that? Not in God's likeness. He begat a son in his likeness. What does that mean? His son did not have the spirit that God gave Adam back in Genesis chapter 1 or in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. He now had the nature of his father who now has a fallen nature. Adam lived 130 years, begat a son in his own likeness after what? His own image. What was the image of God? His life and his nature. Okay? Adam's image is now not like God's, because otherwise, why would the scripture say that Adam had a son in his likeness and his image? Do you see that? So, ladies and gentlemen, we have Alice over here. Alice, guess whose likeness and image Alice is in? Judy and her father who's passed away, Wayne. Not God, not when she was first born. She was born in Judy's and Wayne's likeness. And now that she got born again, she now has God's likeness. No offense to you, she don't have the likeness that you gave her originally, okay? It's okay. She's better off now. But my point in saying that is this. When we are born, God did not make us the way we are when we are born the first time. God makes us the way we are when we are born the second time, when we are born again, okay? When we are born from above, as Luke says in Luke chapter 1, okay? When we're born from above, then God made us the way we are, okay? But, you know, when you look at us after we're born again and we spend some time in the body of Christ, we still act like we are not because we are growing. We're renewing our minds. We're putting on the mind of Christ to be more like what God birthed us to be, okay? So you see that the first lie, this is how God made me, is not true. Now, the second lie is close to it. Oh, man, how many times have you heard that? There but for the grace of God go I. How many times have you said that? Okay? You're walking in the mall. You see someone in a wheelchair. There but for the grace of God go I. You see someone who is blind. It wasn't for the grace of God. That could be me. So what you're telling me is this. You are so wonderful. You are so holy that God smiled on you. And that poor person in the wheelchair, that poor person who's blind, didn't have a shot. Because look at them. They're blind in a wheelchair. But God smiled on me. Okay? That's what we say. I mean, we don't think about it like that. Because, you know, when you're growing up, you just hear things. And you repeat things. And see, that is a lie. And when you say, but for the grace of God go I, that does not build your faith because you're saying God treats that person in the wheelchair, treat that person who is blind, treat that person who has a deformity, treat that person who has Down syndrome different than he treated you. That's what you're saying. According to Scripture, that is not true. When it comes to our first birth, okay, there is nothing fair about your first birth. F-A-I-R. There's nothing fair about it. You are born to whatever circumstance, situation you were born in. That's just the way it is, okay? Because, see, if there before the grace of God go I, think about all the folks in the undeveloped countries. You know what? If it wasn't for God's grace, I could be living over there. But I'm here. Praise God. Nuh-uh. No. That has nothing to do with it. And see, as long as you believe that God plays favorites, then you are always going to try to earn his favoritism when you've already been born into the family. Stephen can't be any more my favorite than my son Barry, or his name, first name is Barry, but we call him Ephraim, or my daughter Candace. I love them just the same. I don't treat them all the same because, you know, you treat your children different based on who they are, their personality, that sort of stuff. But you know what I mean, okay? But see, for us to say that if it wasn't for God's grace, I could be living over in Africa or I could be living in Egypt or I could be living in England or anywhere else other than the United States of America, that's saying that God handpicked you to live here, okay? Handpick you to live here. I want to show you a record in Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, we're going to read the first six verses. I want to make sure you're there before I start reading. Okay, we're going to be like we're in high school. Everybody who's in Luke 13, raise your hand. Okay. Jerry's not there yet. He didn't raise his hand. Yeah, we had to wait on Jared. In Luke chapter 13, look at verse 1. It says, there were present at the season some that told Jesus of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. Now, it doesn't mean that Pilate killed them and then mingled their blood with their sacrifice. It means that as they were sacrificing, they were killed. And they died, and their blood was just mingled with the sacrifice. Okay? Verse 2. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Do you see the question he's asking him? Do you think that these people were so bad in their sin that this is the reason that happened to them? You see the question? How many times have we raised the issue before we got born again, came to know Christ, and now know better? Guys, I'll be honest with you. I have had similar thoughts in my earlier Christian days. When certain things happened to certain people, I'd ask that question. Okay? They must have been worse, bad, whatever the case may be, than some other folks. Because why would something like that happen? Okay? Jesus is saying here, right here, that do you think because they were sinners more than the other Galileans that this happened to them? Jesus says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I was reading this again this morning, and something just jumped out at me. Where was it that Jesus was not, he could not do many mighty works? Of Nazareth. And what was Jesus? A Galilean, right? Okay. You know what he's saying right here? He's saying that those Galileans who died, they're going to hell. Because, look what he said. I tell you, nay, except ye repent. They had heard the word. Because otherwise, why would he say, except ye repent, ye shall perish? They had an opportunity to hear the word, and they didn't accept it. Remember, because of their unbelief? Okay? Now look at verse 4. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Now, a lot of folks read this verse and think he's still talking about Galileans. He's not talking about Galileans now. He's talking about Jews now. Because he says of all the men who live in Jerusalem. Okay? And another key to this verse is the word sinners. The word sinners is a different word than the word that's in verse 2. The word sinners means debtors. Okay? So, what Jesus is saying is this. Now, all of you who hold to the standard of the law and you live by the law, okay, and you follow the law in all of its precepts, because you remember Paul says, if you don't do all the parts of the law, then you are debtors. Okay? So you who have done all the law, and those are you saying who died, they were debtors of the law because they didn't do everything that the law demanded, and so they paid the penalty demanded by the law. Do you think that their death is going to be any different than yours? Because look what he said in verse 5. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, you will likewise perish, not make it into eternity with God. That's what that word perish means. So do you see what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, what you see happen to people has nothing to do with what God has done or not done. That is exactly what he's saying. We live in a world, ladies and gentlemen, things happen. Things happen. That's just the way it is. Things happen. Why? Because we live in a world that's dominated by sin. And so when you live in a place that's dominated by sin, sin is going to happen. And you're going to get caught. But then it's your response to it that determines your outcome. Okay? So we see that Jesus is saying, except ye repent, you are also going to perish. But now, look what he does in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. He also spake this parable. So in other words, after he said that, then this is the next thing that he says. Okay? A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of this vineyard, behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And the dresser, answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and it bear fruit. And if it bear fruit, well. And if it does not, after thou hast cut it, And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Okay? Do you see what's happening? Jesus is taking the situation with the folks who had their bloods mingled with their sacrifice. He's taking the situation with the folks who died from the Tower of Siloam. And he's saying, then there was a dresser of a vineyard who, when the master wanted to cut down the tree, he said, no, give it one more year. Remember, Jesus is teaching principles from the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying the reason these folks died is because they didn't have someone to intercede for them. They didn't have someone who would come in on their behalf and try to give them another chance to save them. Do you see that? Okay? Because what he says is they will have one more year in this parable to get it right. And if they don't get it right, then they will also be cut down, be cut off, be put away. So what Jesus is saying is, you need to repent, okay? Because right now, you still have an opportunity to spend eternity with my Heavenly Father. These folks didn't, because they had no intercessor. I, standing here before you, Jesus, am your intercessor. I'm telling you what you need to do. Do you see that? There before the grace of God go I. Is a lie from the pit of hell, from Satan's throne room. Okay? Because he wants you to think that God is not being fair to you. Okay? You know, I look at Dave. Dave has a full head of hair. I look at Barry, thinning. God, why? Why, God, why? God had nothing to do with it. God had nothing to do with it. That's Dave's mom and dad. And so that, what does that say about my mom and dad? Okay. Love them. Okay, the last one. But I wanted to make a point about these two situations, about this is the way God made me, and there before the grace of God go I. Life is not fair. But once you get born again, everything is even. Everything is the same. Then you decide what you do with that sameness. You decide what you do with that sameness. Now, lie number three, Satan is the god of this world. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, okay, you see the word therefore? It's referring to something that happened in chapter 3. So what is the ministry that we have? Look in verse 6 of chapter 3. Well, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, not of the law, okay? But of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So what ministry do we have? We are ministers of the New Testament. We are ministers of life. The ministers of the law are ministers of death. That's exactly what he's saying. Because if you live by the law, you're going to die. You're not going to make it to heaven. Verse 1, chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What he's saying in this verse is, in Romans chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, Paul says the Gentiles are now walking with God because of the spirit that they have on the inside. Their conscience is either accusing or excusing what they hear and what they do. Okay? This is what Paul is talking about here. He says, we commend to you the things we preach and teach to every man's conscience, to that new nature on the inside. It's either going to verify what you're saying or it's going to go against what you're saying. Okay? So while I've been talking all morning, either something on the inside is going on, woo, 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 he's lying to you, woo, 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 or there's going to be a peace and a calm because the word of God's been taught in truth. That's what that new nature is all about. That's what it's there for. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now remember, he's talking about Christians. Okay? It is hid to them that are lost. Why? In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Okay? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. He's saying if our gospel is hid, it's because of those who are lost. And what he's saying is, you are a Christian. You're not lost. You're not lost. But if you were, you're being blinded because of them which believe not. So he's saying here that the gospel has been presented, and now they are lost because why? They believed not. They rejected the gospel. When you reject the gospel, you lose. You don't spend eternity with God. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, your slaves, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, it clearly says, okay, that Satan is the god of this world, does it not? Okay. Look in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, look at verse 30. Is it 31? Yes, it is 31. Then answered Jesus, verse 30, the voice came not. Well, let me see. Verse 28. John chapter 12, verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Okay? The judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Okay? Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the word world was the word cosmos. No, it was a word, it wasn't cosmos, it's the word aeon, A-I-O-N, which means he's the god of the age, okay, of this age, this generation, this time in which we live. Jesus says he is also the prince of this world. He's the prince of the cosmos. He's the prince of everything we see going on here in the earth as we know it. All the order, all the systems in place, okay, all the things that are happening. He's the prince of this world. He's the ruler of this world. Jesus also says that in John chapter 14. He says again in John chapter 16. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says the prince of the power of the air, okay, who is now over the children of disobedience. So he's also called the prince of the power of the air. Okay? I'm going somewhere with this, trust me. Now, the question becomes, who is he the god of? Scripture says he's the god of this world. And if he's the god of this world, and this world is dominated by sin, and this world is dominated by the sin nature, okay, then who is he the god of? Let me help you. Now, this is a question that the Holy Spirit asked me. Who is the god of your world? Who is the god of your world? Okay? You live in your world, but you also live in another world. Remember, my son said the kingdom of God shall be where? In you. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. That is the world you live in once you're born again. That is the world that you bring to the world in which your physical body resides. Because remember, this body has not been glorified. It's the same body we got from, it's the same body I got from John and Dorothy Johnson. It has not been glorified. Your body lives in a world dominated by sin. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Your spirit lives in a world dominated by my life and my nature. In the most literal and truest sense, the God of your world is determined by who you belong to. Isn't that neat? It's determined by who you belong to. When you got born again, your human spirit left the family of darkness and moved into my family, the family of light. Your spirit moved, but your body did not. And it is your body that hinders you from experiencing the fullness of what it means to live in my world, the kingdom of light. You know, because you remember how Paul says, you know, he beats his body into submission so he can mortify the flesh, so he can do what he needs to do for God? Okay. But because you live in two worlds, two kingdoms, at the same time, you must choose which kingdom you will serve every day, every hour, every moment. We have to choose, okay? And do you realize that we're the only thing, only life, I'm trying to think of the right word, on this planet right now that lives in two different kingdoms at the same time? We're the only ones. Now, those who are not born again, they live in one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, until they get born again. We live in two. That's why there's a fight all the time, a fight. Okay? When you understand that when you get born again and you live in two kingdoms at once, Romans chapter 7 opens up. Okay, I'm going to read this last part again. But because you live in two worlds, two kingdoms at the same time, you must choose which kingdom you will serve every day, every hour, every moment. You must choose. You can live by what you see and hear, the kingdom of darkness, or you can live by faith, kingdom of light. That's your choice. Okay? So, of what world is Satan the god of? Not mine. Not mine. You know what? Barry can be stupid and give him access to his world. Okay? But I'm doing my best to get smarter and smarter, so I keep giving him less and less access to my world. Because, see, the whole point is I should be dominating his world with my world. That's the goal. Because, you know, that's what Jesus did. Jesus dominated Satan's world with his world. Okay? Look in Luke chapter 4, and we're winding up. Remember, we're talking about the lies we believe. In Luke chapter 4, a record we're familiar with. And I want you to see this. Everybody in Luke chapter 4? We all should be there by now, right? Okay, Luke chapter 4, look at verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power, the word power is authority. Okay? It's the word exousia, authority. All this authority will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus said in verse 8, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. Hold your finger here, go to Colossians chapter 2, and look at verse 15. And this is Jesus, after he's risen from the dead. It says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, and the principalities and the powers. You know who they are from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Having spoiled all principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So in other words, he put Satan on display and triumphed over him. Okay? So everyone in the realm of the spirit knew Satan had been defeated. Okay? Now, look at John chapter 8. Hold your finger still in Luke chapter 5. In John chapter 8. Now, we notice here in Luke chapter 5, and I'm being very deliberate, that Satan says, all the authority, he showed him all the worlds in a moment of time. And he says, all this authority I will give you and everything associated with it if you will fall down and worship me. Okay? Whenever you think about Satan, you read in scripture about Satan, think about John chapter 8, verse 44. It says, ye are of your father, the devil. And Jesus was talking to the religious leaders, but he was also talking to anyone. He was talking to everyone at that time because they were not born again. You are your father, the devil, and the lust of your fathers you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Now, I'm not an English major. I'm just Barry. But it says there is no truth in him. What does that mean? There is no truth in him. I mean, he can't tell the truth. That's what that means. Satan cannot tell the truth. Okay? There is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That is who he is, okay? He's a liar. He can't help it. Just like God can't help loving us, Satan can't help lying to us. He'll lie for no reason at all. How are you doing today? Fine. And you know he's not, right? Because he's been defeated, and you stumped all over him, okay? Now, go back to Luke. I want you to see John chapter 8, verse 44 for a reason. Remember in Luke, verse 6, the devil said unto Jesus, all this authority will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that was delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Notice what he said, right? And then he said, you can have all this, Jesus, if you will worship me. Of all he said, of all Satan said, what did Jesus respond to? Thou shalt not worship no one other than the Lord your God. That was the only thing he responded to. Do you see that? He didn't respond to, I can give you this, I can give you this, I can give you this. Why? It wasn't Satan's to give. God gave man dominion, right? And, you know, as we've heard so many times, he never took it back. So it was not Satan's to give. Jesus knew that. So Jesus said, okay, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Everything else leading up to that doesn't matter because you got to serve God. Okay? My point is this. There are so many people who will read this verse, and they will tell you that the reason this world is in the state that it's in is because Adam gave his authority to Satan. No, Adam did not give the authority to Satan. Adam only rebelled against God, took on Satan's nature, gave Satan access to his spirit. So because Satan now had access to the spirit, Satan now could use man to do what he wanted to do. But see, once we get born again and receive Jesus, he no longer has access. He no longer has our authority. Do you see how important it is to get people born again? More folks we get into the kingdom, the more folks he loses authority over. Because now they're going to start listening to God. Because, see, God is no different than Satan when it comes to his ability to work in this world. He has to have someone who's going to agree with him, someone who's going to say yes, and someone who's going to say, okay, God, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. Satan has folks doing that all the time. And you know how he uses, how he does that? In Mark chapter 4, remember the parable of the sower? And he says that he uses the lust or riches, the cares of this world. Satan uses money to get people to do what he wants them to do. That's why the wrong people have money. Satan makes sure they have it because they have the money. They don't have the life of God. My point. Satan is a liar. Always has been. Always will be. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about the man or the woman with the sin nature. He will use them until he gets exactly what he wants out of them. And once he's done, he kicks them to the curb. Your Heavenly Father is not like that. Your Heavenly Father wants you to use that spirit on the inside to go on a search and rescue mission. All of those who are not born again, he wants them born again. So, going back to the lies we believe, I want you to put a little carrot in there now. The lies we used to believe. Okay? So that's the second part of the title that God gave me. Lies we used to believe. Because now, if you still believe those lies, you have no reason to believe those lies now. You don't. I think it's so neat that from time to time, and see now, all of you are going to start thinking about the things you've heard, things you've said, and realize that you've been lying the whole time because it doesn't line up with what God's word says. And so now you can put those things aside and now confess what God's word says. Because, see, God treats us all the same. All the same. All the same. Now, I'm going to pick on Neil because I love Neil. And Neil has a sense of humor like mine. When we stand before God, one of us is going to get a greater reward between Neil and me when we stand before God. Okay? And it's not because God favors Neil over Barry. It's because Neil took his new nature that he has on the inside, and he yielded it more to God than Barry did. And that's why Neil is going to get more rewards, because he used his new nature to do what God wanted him to do. And see, the more you do that, the more rewards you get. That's why there's a levels of rewards in heaven, because there's going to be some folks who are just going to be glad to get there. And there are going to be others who, like the Apostle Paul, he wasn't just glad to get there. He wanted just to blow the place out. And so that's why. That's why. Hallelujah.